John Linnell and John Flansburgh are collectively known as the alternative rock duo They Might Be Giants. For 20 years, the band has created pop songs about such strange subjects as purple toupees, Particle Man, and cars made out of mink. So you might think They Might Be Giants has been recording children's music all this time. The fact of the matter is, they've only recently released their first album for children. It's called No. And as John Linnell and John Flansburgh explained, this album is different. John Linnell.
We probably could have done a children's record right from the very beginning, and we waited a while because we didn't want people to get the wrong impression about what kind of project this was, you know. And I think after 20 years, it was pretty well established that we were doing music for grown-ups and that it would be okay to do a kind of a special project. I think that we are the kind of band that for many years people have considered appropriate for their kids amongst the stuff that's for grown-ups that they like, you know. So they have, you know, Eminem in their record collection, but they play us for their kids. So we probably were already considered to be okay. I think in some ways this record helps define what about what we usually do is really for grown-ups. You know, because this is something else. It's different.
We wanted to have kind of like a kaleidoscopic sort of roller coaster ride of different styles and kind of capture that kind of thing that we do on all our records. But, you know, one of the weird things about when you make a children's album is that all your friends suddenly become like marketing experts and they really jump out of the woodwork telling you like, well, you know what kids are really into is, you know, and like fill in, you know, dinosaurs or whatever, you know, the other cliche thing is. And more than any other project, I think we actually felt like we had to kind of like shut down the outside influences and really concentrate on just doing something that's creative and in the spirit of what we think like the best child-oriented stuff is. I think in some ways, children's music is not a very good example of stuff made for children. I mean, if you look at the amount of creativity that people put into children's books, like picture books, you know, whether it's Olivia or Babar or whatever, there's all sorts of great personal voices heard in children's literature that are really not watered down. I mean, even Harry Potter, you know, you can just tell that the Harry Potter series kind of shook people up because it hadn't gone through the kind of corporate by committee spanking tunnel of anti-creativity routine that so much other children's fare goes through. And it's sad to say, but the more, you know, we've been really involved in promoting this album now for the last 6 months, we sort of have found out a lot more about the whole children's entertainment world. And very few people actually make original albums for children anymore. They're mostly just kind of extensions of marketing campaigns for licensed cartoon characters or movie promotions. You know, they're not actually original things. Like, people don't make music for children. I mean, we grew up in a time when there was a whole lot of different kinds of musicians making albums for children. I mean, there's Folkways and Vanguard and all the folk explosion. People in the 60s made records for children, and also even rock people in the 70s, like Carole King made that Rosie record, which is really good, and Free to Be You and Me is kind of a cool record, and Schoolhouse Rock is obviously something that's lasted in everybody's minds, and there's a great Harry Nilsson record. You know, there's a history of creativity in it, but I think, you know, we're kind of at a weird low watermark right now. Actually, I grew up with a great children's record called Come For to Sing that was put together by a guy named Eric von Schmidt. He was an illustrator as well as a folk singer, and he was on the Cambridge folk scene. My dad was an architect in Harvard Square and very much like in that sort of time and place. It was just a collection of American folk songs that were, you know, deemed appropriate for children, including like Go Tell Aunt Rhodie, which is a really grim, sad song. But there was a song that I assume it's an Irish folk song called Sing Tattle O'Day that's all a bunch of exaggerations and kind of tall tales. And I really, you know, when we were doing this record, it was kind of like, well, what kind of songs can we do for children? And I just thought that was something that really seemed like a lot of fun when I was a kid and seemed really in the spirit of They Might Be Giants as a band. So I kind of created a song that echoed that idea. I mean, it's a completely different kind of song in some ways, but it really comes straight out of, you know, kind of a folk tradition.
Here on Fibber Island, we strum rubber guitars. Our friends live on Mars, and we sew buttons on our cars. Here on Fibber Island, our house is made of pie. Our dog dog is 2 miles wide, and all he talks about is pie.
Here on Fibber Island, we swim on the ground. Wheels are square, not round. We eat chocolate by the pound.
Come to Fibber Island and strum rubber guitars. Meet our friends from Mars and sew buttons on our cars.
Robot Parade started out as this kind of extreme kind of 80s metal thing.
The actual heavy metal version of it, none dare call it the heavy metal, it's called the adult version. It appears on this Rhino compilation, and it's got some absolutely blazing and completely absurd guitar work by our lead guitar player, Mr. Dan Miller. It's kind of one of those, you know, when you can do that Eddie Van Halen hammer-on thing, it's sort of like you bother to learn it, but then you wonder, what are you ever going to really do with it?
Right.
In a future time, children will work together to build a giant cyborg.
John cooked up Robot Parade, the lyrics, and then I think the bands just left at that point, the rest of our band, and John and I cooked up this version that was just piano and vocal doing what became the album version of Robot Parade.
Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block.
I'm trying to remember where we first sort of reheard in the middle. I mean,
well, the thing we found out after we recorded it was that the woman singing was this great New York accent. You know, she just, it just reminds me of that time when it was on the air. And she's the daughter of the author of the song. So she just got the gig because she was, her dad wrote it.
Well, the song is written by Vic Mizzi, who wrote Green Acres and, you know, the Addams Family. And he wrote some incidental music for some Don Knotts movies. We've done a couple of very sort of obscure covers in our career. And I think it's, you know, those are the ones that we've actually really stuck to the original arrangement, because we know that a lot of people aren't going to hear the original. And in a lot of cases, like, the arrangements are really spectacular. And I sort of feel the same way about In the Middle as I do about, like, Why Does the Sun Shine, which was off this science record that we knew as kids.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
I don't know, there's just something about the jingle as an idea that doesn't really exist in music today. You know, I mean, popular music, you know, people talk about songs from Broadway shows or musicals or rock and roll songs. But as a kid, we really grew up with television as much as the radio. And there was this kind of jingle music that was this incredibly rapid-fire, hyper-catchy. I mean, you know, for 3 minutes is forever, man. You know, 15 seconds is like the room that these jingles had to have an impact. And In the Middle, in some ways, is a really perfect example of really kind of tight 1965 jingle writing. You know, it really nails it in a fun way.
Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Use your eyes to look up, use your ears to hear. Walk up to the corner when the coast is clear. And wait, until you see the light turn green. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block.
That's In the Middle, in the Middle, in the Middle, a song from the album No. It's the first collection of children's music by They Might Be Giants. You heard John Flansburgh's wife, Robin Goldwasser, on that song. Flansburgh is half of They Might Be Giants. John Linnell is the other half.